What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful Backstage Report podcast. For those of you that are new, this is about 20 minutes of exclusive news, injury updates, contract updates, stats. It's a show you'll only find at FightfulSelect.com. So let's go ahead and get into it. Fightful Wrestling Weekly this week has a ton of news in it from our posts across Fightful Select all week. Britt Baker, I've learned that despite being able to work that tooth and nail match for All Out, Britt Baker is still recovering from her leg injury back in May. She had a fracture in her leg, and the company had an ambitious return date for All Out and wanted to make sure that it was fulfilled, as did she. But as of last weekend, she still had not gained full clearance for an in-ring return. Now, some of you might say, well, how did she work the match? Well, she was able to get a little bit of clearance for certain spots there. There are some I just couldn't believe, like that neck breaker on the floor, DDT on the top of a gator, for the love of God. Like, there were a lot of things that I was surprised that she was able to do throughout that injury. And, I mean, quite frankly, based on that weekend and the doctor's performance at AEW shows, if she's not cleared for in-ring, I'm wondering why she was cleared for that. That's just a personal stance on my part, but I would have probably kept her away from that because it didn't seem like it protected her in the degree that that they maybe said it would. I mean, physically, perhaps as far as speed and rust in the ring goes and all that, but there were a lot of people that were putting over Britt Baker to me for her toughness backstage. I mean, she didn't perform there live, but there were a lot of people that said, man, she keeps getting hurt. She's not an injury-prone person. It's just a series of events that happened. And the fact that she was willing to go through there and do that match and do some of the spots in that match said a lot. I know that early on she had that reputation as the poster girl, but she's impressing some people, and not just on the microphone. So hopefully she heals up soon and we can get her back because that women's division needs her. Speaking of AEW, I'm told that they did tape their next episode with tickets only available to people who were at the last show. We've not learned whether or not they plan to go live weekly again, though that would greatly expand their expenses. Right now, they're saving a lot of money. They had people in for quite a while last week. I mean, like all week long they had people in filming content and doing that and trying to get stuff in the can. And it saves them money because they're not flying everybody out once a week, doing tests once a week. They're kind of keeping to themselves and doing the every other week thing, which has worked out just fine for them. They haven't taken on a significant hit as a result. While we're on the topic of AEW, I have some news on the former Rusev's contract. He is signed with All Elite Wrestling. Talks between the two sides have actually been going on for quite a while, and we were told that the deal was long-term, pending on an option for the deal. Now, this is not official, but from what I understand, it's roughly a year with an option for another year. I don't know whose option. Don't quote me on that time frame, that length, because I've not seen the contract myself. The contract does allow for Miro to work New Japan Pro Wrestling and some other independent dates, but it prevents Miro from working New Japan U.S. dates and I think North American television. I could be wrong on the specifics of that, but I know that it does allow for some independent dates as well. Miro getting a nice deal from AEW. I think almost everybody expects him to go to New Japan whenever that becomes an option. Why wouldn't he? He would fit like a glove there. But All Elite Wrestling, I wasn't convinced that he was going to land in AEW, but he did, and that's going to be good. Doesn't hurt that he debuted on this episode of AEW that did over 1 million viewers. And I know a lot of people took it. Okay, a lot of people who want to be upset by something took exception to his promo. That man wasted, I didn't want to say wasted, he spent 10 years there. And had a lot of time wasted. Let the man say what he wants to say. For the love of God. WWE News, Gerald Briscoe revealed that he'd been let go by WWE. He was furloughed earlier this year. Also Mike Rotunda, Sarah Stock, as we had reported on FightfulSelect.com. They had also been furloughed. I reached out to Gerald Briscoe, and he got back to me and thanked me for reaching out, but said that he's going to take some time before speaking further on the matter, as he needed to cool down a little bit. Speaks to his wisdom quite a bit, why he's so respected. I personally think it's ridiculous, a little bit gross and despicable that they would let him go after as long as he's been there. But the extreme cutbacks in WWE this year have led to many situations where salaries were decreased by tens of thousands of dollars, even for non-wrestlers, and spots that many people would have conducted being performed by one or two people. There are also understudies being groomed for many spots in case somebody gets sick and has to miss time. WWE was prepping several departments on the outright cuts and what that will mean for them as individual departments. It's a sad time, and to be quite honest with you, WWE doesn't have to do these cuts. They are just doing them. Billy Kay, there were some wondering if last week's Raw Underground was supposed to be a write-off or the start of a write-off for Billy Kay the Iconics, but it doesn't appear so. There are several that I spoke to that were at Raw Underground, and they said that they were told it was just for entertainment purposes and should not be taken too seriously as far as storylines go. Jessamyn Duke and Marina Shafir were supposed to have a showcase matches on Raw Underground the week prior, but they were scrapped. And much of what happened in those scrapped matches is what happened in the matches that they ended up doing, but they scaled it back for time to include Billy Kay. From what I understand, they each got about a minute each, but then this time they got about 30 seconds each, even less than that, and then they scaled it back to include Billy Kay's timing in there as well. Mentioned in recent weeks that NXT training has resumed at a facility across the street from the WWE Performance Center. Many wondered if training would head back over to the WWE PC after the move to the Thunderdome for main roster shows, but that has not been the case thus far. Right now, the Performance Center is being renovated and remodeled after it has been lived in, so to speak, for about 5-6 months. Those that we have spoken to said that they've enjoyed training at the makeshift facility, and the in-house wrestling events have resumed there. A lot of people don't know that NXT does those, but they do. They have them at the Performance Center, and it's sort of to gauge the progress of Performance Center recruits and trainees there. One of those trainees is going to be Anthony Green. Retro AG signed with WWE, and we were lucky enough to snag an interview with him right before it happened. I got an inkling that WWE was interested, so I hit him up and said, hey, I would like to do an interview with you while I still have the chance. And he told me that he was not quite sure what would become of Evolve, but he will always look upon it very fondly. And he's very proud that he was the first indie match to ever stream on the WWE Network. And he calls it a good opportunity for talent that have indie matches that will now be streaming on the network via the number of promotions that they have. And says it'll be like the claw machine from Toy Story, where one of the many aliens get plucked by the claw. And he said that he spent this pandemic getting as good a shape as he possibly could so he could be ready. He spoke highly of guys like Gangrel and Nunzio that he worked with. Said that he thinks Gangrel can go on a PCO-esque run. That interview drops Monday at noon. It's really good. Over 50 minutes talking championship wins, independent wrestling, Evolve, extra work. Working with Nunzio, working with Gangrel, working with all these people, talking about video games. It's a lot of fun. I had a good time talking to him. Not done with that WWE talk just yet. I learned that after a tip from Louis Dangore of WrestleTalk sent me down a path of pursuing more information about Paul Heyman's role on SmackDown with Roman Reigns. He is heavily influential in the booking of Roman Reigns, and this is considered to be no different than Brock Lesnar, Ronda Rousey, Goldberg, other people that he pitched in with creatively. Brock Lesnar, obviously, he managed or advocated for. But he was credited for lending to the reveal, the finish of the pay-per-view at Payback, and the promo from the SmackDown a couple weeks ago. To me, this is good. I mean, you have to utilize a guy like Paul Heyman creatively if you have him in your employ. It would be a promotional malpractice to not do that to some degree, especially if he's focusing much of his attention on one person. man, that's going to create some really good creative stuff. And it's worked so far. We got a lot of non-WWE stuff. Davey Boy Smith Jr. He's had some contractual issues with Major League Wrestling and asked for his release, but he informed Fightful that he does intend to fulfill his contractual obligations and appear at the last couple of tapings before his contract expires. Brian Pillman Jr. will be appearing and is under contract until next summer, though he has also asked for his company release. I had asked him what he thought of the situation, and he said, we'll find out in a few days, and then he was announced for the shows, so there you go. Ring of Honor is returning to events, but not with fans or anything, but they are shorthanded. There's numerous talent that are not going to be able to make the shows, and two names that we confirmed were stuck outside the country were Bandido and Mark Haskins. This has thrown a wrench into the tag team division and the six-man tag team division. But I spoke a little bit to Tracy Williams. He said that he wasn't under Ring of Honor contract until February of 2019. Now, I'm sure plenty of you don't remember exactly what that was. It was the stable that featured Juice Robinson and Tracy Williams, Tennille Dashwood, Mark Haskins, among others, Bandido. A lot of really eclectic, wide-ranging names. So that was, they put him in that stable, which was ill-fated, very ill-fated, well before he was under contract. He said that he was happy they had that kind of confidence in him, but the group fell apart for various reasons that he was not sure of right after. He felt very bittersweet that Evolve sold, as he said it was a great platform and launching pad for so many wrestlers. But he says that he hopes that something else can become that as well. That interview is up on our website, our channel, a little bit of everything, so go check that out. A good talk with Tracy Williams. We talk video games. We talk Ring of Honor. We talk Evolve. We talk about him signing his contract, partnerships, a lot of good stuff. And Lifeblood. What happened and what will happen. And finally, I was waiting to put out this series for a long time. The Brass Ring series. It'll be coming here and there whenever it fits on FightfulSelect.com. It is a series that I started back in March, around the time of the pandemic. I wanted to get some positive news out there, and I reached out to a lot of wrestlers in WWE about people that were working hard to improve or get better or just learn. And I got some responses. I missed out on some responses, but they have slowly started to like filter in, and I'm getting more and more and more. Sadly, one of those people, or one of those acts, rather, that were put over so much were AOP. One person said to us, AOP and Street Profits work very hard to get better every week, and they're all good guys. Another, before his release, said, Akam should still be on TV. He was improving dramatically and was really easy to work with. They actually both have really good backgrounds that are safe to work with and have shown me a few things. As for the Street Profits, another on the SmackDown roster said they'd love to have them and Bianca Belair on their brand. There are some surprising names that have dropped through this, and I'm working to kind of add some context to them. But I'm hoping this will help eliminate the perception that just negative news gets reported out there. That's why I reached out to so many of these people, because I wanted some positive news to emerge and some nice stories. Unfortunately, I hate that two of the people that we kind of learned were working hard to get better are now gone. That is a big bummer. Well, we also have some sad injury news to report. Ivar suffered a cervical injury last week on Raw. No update on what really he'll require as of now. We did learn that Rey Mysterio will not require surgery on his injury. He's going to be able to rehab that. Simone Johnson, the daughter of The Rock, announced that she was going to have another knee surgery on September 14th. We hope that she gets to feeling better. Matt Hardy was hospitalized after AEW All Out. They claimed that he did not have a concussion, but that was a scary, nasty, messy spot. We've mentioned recently EC3 missed months and months and months, almost a year, but he had his first match on the independent circuit since September 30th. 2019. Dr. Britt Baker, as I mentioned, fractured her leg on the May 20th AEW Dynamite. She was pulled from Double or Nothing and was set to return at All Out. She had no surgery and is still not cleared. Contract news and updates. Tenera Conti has signed with All Elite Wrestling. This comes after she had done a few appearances. They're trying to reinforce that women's division. Chris Jericho speculated that Serena Deeb got signed. I don't know if that's the case. I've reached out to try to find out, but I haven't heard a confirmation one way or another whether or not she got signed. But after that performance against Thunder Rosa, it would make a lot of sense if she were. Miro got signed. That one is set. Alex Shelley is working without a contract. Although I have heard that Impact Wrestling is about to change the contract status of some people in the company that are working without them. Mandy Rose was moved from SmackDown to Raw, according to The Miz. It was later confirmed by WWE on September 12th that she had been moved over to Monday Night Raw. Just what SmackDown needs, less women that have not already competed for the SmackDown Women's Championship. I tell you what. Let's hit you with some stats. Apollo Crews' last 11 matches have all been against someone from the Hurt Business. He has not wrestled anyone outside that stable since June 15th. Last week was the 4th Street Profits versus Andrade and Angel Garza match since July 20th. There have been 5 singles matches involving them wrestling each other in that period as well. Randy Orton and Keith Lee were scheduled for their 4th match involving each other in only 15 days. Yep. Much of the same on Monday Night Raw. Dustin Rhodes main evented AEW Dynamite at 51 years old. AEW Dynamite's first show with over 1 million viewers in months featured 3 former Intercontinental Champions from WWE over 40 years old. And Helico has lost 3 singles matches since August 27th. Finn Balor became NXT champion after having only 1 win in his previous 5 matches. Balor joined Shinsuke Nakamura and Samoa Joe as the only 2-time champions in NXT history, that being the main NXT championship, of course. The 5-year gap between Balor's NXT title wins was the longest in history by a long shot. Chris Jericho teamed with Jake Hager this week. You may remember Hager cashed in his Money in the Bank contract about 10 years ago to win the World Heavyweight title from Chris Jericho. The two had never teamed together before AEW, and Hager actually won the first 5 matches that he had against Chris Jericho until Jericho beat him at Roadblock in 2016. Roman Reigns and Jey Uso had teamed together in 6-man tags, 8-man tags. They'd had singles matches. They'd face each other in 6-man, 8-man tags, Survivor Series matches, Battle Royals. But Friday was the first time they technically have ever teamed together without anyone else on their team. What I mean by that is any time the two had teamed together, Jimmy was always there. Now, that singles match, it took place way, way back in FCW, so probably not going to find that one just floating around on Raw or SmackDown anytime soon. Tamina was back. She has competed in 8 matches in 2020. 5 of those have been top contender matches or championship matches. All of her last 3 matches fit that criteria. Yep. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate all of you. We're going to have lots of scoops. How about every day? Every day. We'll just do it every day. Come back every day. Thank you guys. We're out.